Well, good morning and welcome. I guess this is the first Sunday in 2019. It's a good time for what I call an examination lesson. Michael was kind of in that zone a little bit. I think the word resetting myself was used, and I like that. Once in a while, in fact, continually, I need to examine myself and reset myself. Amen. I, probably like you, have a tendency to get bogged down, to get sidetracked, to get off and running someplace where I ought not to be. As I walked in this morning over here, the back page of the House to House, Heart to Heart, showed there. I've used this illustration, but here it was. Years ago, a boy walked into a drugstore and asked if he could use the telephone. Receiving permission, he took the receiver and he said, "Operator, give me number 604. This sounds like a long time ago. "Hello, Dr. Anderson. Do you want to hire a boy to cut the grass, milk the cow, and run errands for you?" "Oh, you already have a boy. Dr. Anderson, are you completely satisfied with that boy?" "Okay. Bye, doctor." As the boy thanked the druggist and started out the door, the druggist called to him and said, just a minute, son. "If you're looking for work, I could use a young man like you." "Thank you, sir," replied the boy, but I've already got a job." "Didn't I just hear you trying to get a job with Dr. Anderson?" "No, sir," said the boy. "I'm the boy that works for Dr. Anderson. I was just checking up on myself." Now, folks, that's good, and that's rich. And that's me, and that's you. Sometimes we need to call home and check up a little bit on ourselves. Psalms 26 at verse 2 says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." And then we know this one from 1 Corinthians 11:28. "Let a man examine himself." The context is the Lord's Supper up here. 2 Corinthians 13:5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." That's our area. "Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate," or not standing the test? The text tells me that once in a while I need to look at Phil and maybe readjust Phil according to God's word. That's the only way I can do it, the only sensible way. William Barclay writes, "It's possible for a follower of Jesus to be a disciple, to be what he calls a camp follower, without being a soldier of the king." Sounds like a difference to me, doesn't it? To be a hanger-on in some great work without pulling your own weight. It is one purpose of the supreme handicaps. It is one of the supreme handicaps of the church that in the church there are so many distant followers of Jesus and so few real disciples. Folks, there we are this morning. Which one am I, a distant follower or a real disciple? I think there's a difference, don't you? In Luke 14:33, "To a rich young man, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." I need to learn that. And I want each of us this morning, before we leave here, to determine that we are indeed a real disciple. It's really all that matters, isn't it? We sing, "Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way, higher I'm climbing each passing day." This is an illustration. We sing, "Sweet Hour Prayer," and we're content with about 5 minutes a day. We sing, "Onward Christian Soldiers," and sit down and wait for the draft. We sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, and we don't sing with the one we've got. We sing, there shall be showers of blessings, and gripe about anything and everything. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds, and let almost anything sever that tie. We sing, I surrender all, and fail to give as we have prospered. How'd you do just a minute ago? We sing, I love to tell the story, and then we go looking for some track when someone asks. We sing, we're marching to Zion and can't make it to a Bible class or evening worship. We see, I didn't write these. It's an illustration. We sing, cast thy burden on the Lord and worry ourselves into a nervous breakdown. We sing, the gospel is for all, and we haven't even invited our neighbors. We sing, oh, worship the King, and wear ourselves out chasing stuff in the world. We sing, throw out the lifetime and lifeline and content ourselves with throwing out a fishing line. You know, I look to Paul. I look to that man as I read about him, and I'm absolutely amazed by the singleness of heart, the dedication, the suffering, the continualness of effort. Paul was sold on what he was doing, wasn't he? He said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body, the lesson is kind of there, and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Folks, as a preacher, that's scary. Isaac Disraeli. It's a wretched taste to be gratified with mediocrity when the excellent lies before us. Think about that. Are we happy with just mediocre, middle of the road? Because there's better available to the Christian. So we stand at the end of another calendar year. It's kind of an arbitrary signpost, but it is a signpost and a good time for us to think, to take an inventory. So how are we doing? How did we do? You know, to some degree, what we did last year is a predictor of what we're probably going to do. What I did last year is probably a reasonable predictor of what I'm going to do in the future, unless there's an intervention, right? Unless there's a godly intervention in my life that says, Phil, that's not good enough. That's way too mediocre. You've settled for way too little. Until I make up my mind and make that statement and then put it into my life, then what I did last year is about what I'm going to do next year. What we did last year is about what we are going to do next year. Now, listen, the Lord wants growth, doesn't He? Amen. The lukewarm issue that we read about in the Revelation letter and Laodicea problem, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, that whole area, God seems to have said, leave it alone. Get it out of your life, Phil. Grow. There's the positiveness. You know, we are an alive group of people. God made us alive in the blood of Christ Jesus. If we are alive, we ought to act like it. Amen. We ought to be an excited group and a rejoicing group, a happy group, a fellowshipping, loving, praying together group. Any doubt if we do all of those things together on a consistent basis, then some of us will say to the rest of us, we can't just hold this. Let's give it to others. Don't we think that'll happen? I do. I think God does. Amen. Hebrews 6:10 says, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've showed toward His name in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister? Folks, there's a lot to be done. We need to be walking in the light, measuring ourselves by the light. And that's God's Word. Hebrews 6, the first part of 1. Let us go on unto perfection. Maturity is the idea there. 2 Peter 3, 18, the first part. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And someone said, there's a lot of Christians that aren't doing much. But there aren't any Christians that don't have anything to do. Isn't that true? We may not be doing a whole lot, but there's sure a whole lot to be done. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. Do we believe that? And all you got to do is walk around and rescue for a while at Cameron Park. We can figure it out. The question is, what are we going to do about it? I've talked about the Revelation 3:14 area, Laodicea, lukewarm. Don't do it. Matthew 25, Jesus talks about the parable of talents, doesn't he? We know what that one is. We know that we're supposed to use the talents that God gave us. He didn't give them to me just to sit down and enjoy them. So, 2019, we made it that far. Have you grown in? And growth needs to happen in a lot of areas. Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, or I think at the end of chapter 5, be ye therefore perfect. It means well-rounded, mature. Have you grown in knowledge and attitude? I kind of think that one will make the other, won't it? If I grow in knowing God's Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's Word, and faith is increased, and I'm growing, and I'm taking it to heart, my attitude ought to change. Sometimes I just need perking up. Okay? Sometimes old Phil is just kind of a couch potato. That's a way of describing a way of living. But we can be couch potato Christians. And we just need perking up some, redirecting some. We need to be willing to make that happen in our lives. Willingness, that's a great word. I searched several years ago looking for the sum of all things. That's what I was trying to get at. What's the one word that should describe Phil? And this is the word I came up with. Willing. Phil needs to be willing. I don't bring much else to the table. Okay? It's not talent and it's not a whole bunch of other things that we bring to God. He doesn't need them. What he needs is willing Phil. Willing to follow, willing to submit, willing to obey, willing to rejoice in the process and learn to rejoice. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs says, 1 at verse 7. 1 Peter 2 at verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, the pure. Colossians 3:10, have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Folks, the word is designed to change us, isn't it? Amen. It's one thing to say, know the word of God. Knowing God's word is supposed to change me in God's direction. So, have we grown in knowledge? Are we doing the things that will help us grow? Could you grab someone and say, would you come to my house one night a week and study? I'll let you choose what we're going to study. Could you do that? You could. I know you could. Would you? Well, now that's another word. Could we somehow, 50% of us, man, it would make a difference. By the middle of the year, say end of June, could 50% of us have a class with somebody else going in our homes? Is that possible? You bet it's possible. Would it be good for the fellowship idea? You bet it would be good for fellowship. Would it be good for the growth of somebody? Maybe both. Yes, it would. Is it possible? Absolutely. Is it probable? You decide that, don't you? Each one of us makes that decision. It isn't just the elders, it isn't just the deacons, it isn't just the preachers that can teach classes. Any one of us that knows enough about Jesus and Him crucified can teach that. Amen. And any of us will help anybody to do that. Have we grown in love and character? We start with the knowledge base because God's Word is the stimulus, the source, the seed for all of that. But it should drive a growth in love and in character. I'm to have the mind of Christ. That's what God's Word's designed to put in me. Okay? And so have we grown in that area? We're told to lift up the hands which hang down on the feeble knees in Hebrews 12:12-13. We're told that we're to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men in 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. I mentioned it. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we know what that mind was. Some practical ideas. I need to call more. Maybe text. You choose the method. There's so many ways available to us anymore. We need to call more. Maybe send more cards and letters, more visits, more meals together, more singing together. T-Bone, we've got to do more of that. Pray more, and more specifically, keep an updated prayer list. I need to write things down. This idea of, well, I pray for all those that are sick and all those that are traveling and anybody else that shows up or doesn't show up, the generalities. Let's get specific, folks. We need to do that. We need to purpose in our hearts that we're going to do better in the future. And 2019 is the future. We, don't get too far out there. We need to purpose in our hearts right now that we are going to do all that we can to be a better brother or sister in 2019. Now, you're going to do that somewhere. I'm convinced you need to do it in the body. We do it in the body so we can do it out of the body. We understand that. We do it in the church, almost like a team practicing together and encouraging one another to go out and do it somewhere else. Well, have you grown in knowledge? Have you grown in love and in character? But those two seem to me to just stand out as big macro issues. The next part of the lesson, and we're winding down here, is kind of where we do those. And the first place I've chosen is in the church. Actually, the first place I've chosen is in the home. And the second is in the church. Those are two places that the Christian needs to operate and operate carefully. So looking back in 2018, have you grown in your home environment? Children are to obey their parents in the Lord. The text says that's right. Fathers are not to provoke their children to anger or to wrath. They're to discipline them and bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Husbands are to love wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Fellas, it's time for us to stand up to the plate here. And you do it by going through part one. Okay? Knowing God. Wives are to submit themselves to husbands. Wives, you need to help the man play his role and encourage him. A lot of discussion could happen here. We need to take Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen. They depart from your heart all the days of thy life. And then it says, teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Folks, something's supposed to happen at home. In the family. And so is your family. In 2018, was your family a place for nurturing? Or was it a chaotic dwelling place? At times it is. In general, if it's nothing but chaos, we've got a problem. Amen. Dads, we've got a problem. Mothers, we've got a problem. We need to teach our children. Amen. Parents, are your children a pleasure to live with? That's your job. You say, I can't stand going home to be around my kids. Change something. Start now. It's up to us to make our children lovable. It's up to us. Nobody else is going to do it. It's up to us to lay down the lessons that are painful sometimes. If we don't teach our children discipline and a love for authority and a respect for authority, guess what? When they get older, the world is going to teach it to them, and they're not going to be very kind. In fact, they're going to be cruel about that process. So teach them now the characteristics of adaptability and social issues in this life. Teach them to be loved. If you teach them to love, you will also teach them to be loved. May I say that? If we teach our children what God wants us to know, and that's our job, then they will in turn be lovable, obeying children, and they'll have the best life possible. Well, that's sure a broad generality. I meant to spend more time there. Folks, we absorb one another in the family. We're too close not to, don't we? Amen. By virtue of the fact that we are a household living in one house, we just literally have to absorb one another. Guess what children do? They absorb mom and dad. It's not so much what we say, but what we do that they absorb. We'd better learn to live the Lord's way rightly in front of our children. We'd better learn to communicate, husband and wife, lovingly, correctly. That's what they see. Don't be like Hosea 8:7. They have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. You want to sow love and reap love. It's a whole lot better. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of diligence. Church, it all does. Knowing God and changing our character in terms of God's Word takes effort. The word is diligence in the text. And that's a compound of time and effort. You don't have the right to quit. You don't. You just keep playing. You learn to play correctly. Well, have you grown in your value to Christ, church? We've got a whole lesson on busyness. We are as busy a group of people in 2018 as there's probably ever been on the face of the earth. I don't have time to develop that. We need to be a part of the bride, the Savior, the bride of the Savior. That's the church. It's not so much a place to come as who we are, but we need to be who we ought to be. Ephesians 4 talks about it. I read it earlier today in class. This idea of the whole body being joined and held together by that which every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Isn't that a great thought? That's the Spirit's words in one little verse there. And so we need to make that happen. I need to make it happen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we're to lay every encumbrance aside and run the race that is set before us. And we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. I can make a difference in this little band of Christians here in Rescue. I believe that. Might not be much difference. But I know that I can do something to help us. And boy, I know that you can do something to help me. The we issue is one that we must consider carefully and make it work in this local place. I mean to make that difference next year. I've said that before. I hope I've done that. I've said it this morning. And so if any time during 2019 you find out that Phil stopped making a difference, nudge him a little bit, would you? And say, hey, you promised. And I hope I'll say, I did, didn't I? Nothing's going to improve until we desire that it improves. Amen. Status quo is something that's automatic. It's an interesting thing about life, incidentally. Some things just happen. And you don't have to do anything, and they'll happen. I've learned on my 2.25 acres in Rescue, weeds grow whether I do anything or not. I do not have to plant, water, fertilize in order to grow weeds. They just happen. And your life is the same. Something will happen in your life. What's it going to be? We need to make up our minds. It's going to be what God wants it to be. And He tells us that, doesn't He? When they returned from Babylonian captivity in Nehemiah 1, a little later on, Nehemiah talked about a people with a mind to work. It's a good story. We need to be a people with a mind to work. We want to increase. We want to earnestly desire. We've got to do more praying about this, folks. Bob and I have talked about that. But we're going to try to help us do more serious, intense praying in the coming year about what goes on in this area, what goes on within this community of believers. Surely our objective is that we'll do a little bit better job preaching Jesus, isn't it? Amen. That we'll do a better job helping those who are in need, and sometimes you can't separate one from the other. I've got to raise my goals and my aspirations across all the fronts of my life in order to grow, and I hope that I can do that, and I will try. This thing, this terrible apathy of comfort is something that I've got to get rid of. It will dilute your cup, and that cup will never overflow. And so in general, maybe your metaphor is an overflowing cup. You need to put God's Word into that cup. You need to put in all the character that comes from God's work and let that cup be filled. And then let it overflow, and let it overflow to us. And I think the us will become a larger us outside of us. That's your lesson today, the overflowing cup. It takes some examination. It takes some purpose in our hearts to make it work. Go home and make a promise to yourself. Write it down. That's something that I made the promise. I need to go home and write it down and put it somewhere. goodness, audience, this morning, you're not a child of God. There's nothing more important than what Christ Jesus did for you. He died so that your sins would be forgiven, could be forgiven. You need to believe that Christ is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He arose for life. If you'll confess His name before men, repent of your sins, believing, be buried in a watery grave of baptism. The picture of going into the death that Christ died as we die to sin. Would you do that this morning? You can arise to walk in newness of life. The Lord will place you in the church. Amen. He sets you there, Acts 2:47. Please do that if you haven't. You may be sitting here needing prayer. We talked about more prayer. You give us a good jump start. We can pray with you and for you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?
I bring my debt to Thee.